Last Sunday, the Sunday talk was on the theme of what is the best religion. And so it was an interesting topic. I'm not sure who put the topic on the list of suggestions, but it was an interesting topic to pursue because obviously, you know, here we are, Buddhist monastery, we're card-carrying, robe-wearing, banner-waving Buddhists. And so the obvious thing would be to say, well, of course, Theravada Buddhism is the best religion, otherwise, you know, why would we be doing this if we didn't think that way? And that was the point that Master Hua made when they had an interfaith conference, a gathering at the City of 10,000 Buddhas many years ago. And the event was being picketed by local fundamentalist Christians, who were standing at the gate with placards and trying to stop the delegates coming to the conference and making a big fuss. And so as the conference was getting underway and the locals were blocking the road, and some of the monks came to Master Hua and said, "Oh, Shirafu, it's a disaster. There's this group of people, these fundamentalist Christians, they're blocking the road, they've got these placards, and they're trying to send people away. What do we do? And they were all in a dither, all you know, upset and in a fluster. The main theme being, how can we get rid of these people? What do we do? Do we call the police, or you know, do we threaten them, or you know, what should we do? And Master Hua's response was, "Well, invite them in, of course." And which was surprising to the monks, but he said, "No, invite them in. They can join our conference." So anyway, they came in, and first of all, with these fundamentalist Christians, you know, very kind of uptight and defensive. And when it came for question time and discussion during the presentations, then they were a little bit contentious. And there was a difficult, awkward atmosphere. But because people were friendly to them and the food was good and people weren't treating them badly and seemed to be listening to them and ready to hear what they had to say, then after 3 or 4 days, then there was quite a good atmosphere. And things really settled down. So, you know, Lumpur Sumedho was there and gave this account. When he came back, here to Amravati and told us the stories of it. He said the most difficult moment was right at the end, and Master Hua hadn't given any kind of a Dhamma talk or reflection up to that point. But right at the very end of the conference, Master Hua was on the schedule to speak, and so he got up onto the podium and to give his presentation. And he started his presentation by saying, "I want to ask everybody here, whose religion is the best religion?" And the Lumpur said, "Oh," he had this feeling, this sort of shrinking feeling. It's like, "Oh no, oh man, this is going to be awful. It's going to be a kind of Buddhist diatribe." And Master Hua is a pretty strong character, and he can really put his point across if he needs to. But he also is quite a performer. He said, "Whose religion is the best religion? I want to ask everyone of you, whose religion is best, really?" And he kind of looked around and let the sort of pregnant pause get stronger and people sort of more tense. And he said, "I'll tell you whose. Yours. Your religion is the best religion. Because if you didn't think so, you changed to another one." And then Lumpur said that Master Hua gave this most wonderful Dhamma talk about how we start where faith arises. We use our own imagery, our own languaging, the way we understand things. And each one of us has different influences. We grow up in different families. We have different education, different language, different patterns of conditioning. And if we are wise, then we'll see that our faith has arisen from a particular background and is described in a particular way, using certain words, using certain ideas and images, And we'll see that, you know, that's where our faith has come from, and that's what's meaningful to us, because that's what helps us to arrive at the spiritual goal. And so that so that's what's best for you. So I can't tell you that your Christian conditioning is bad for you and that you should be Buddhist, because that's not the language that you speak. That's not the family you grew up in. That's not the images that you're used to. It's like I can't tell you that you've got the wrong shoes on. You know, it's up to you what shoes you choose. If they fit your feet, then they're the right shoes. And so this was a very beautiful and skillful way of both, you know, respecting people's conditioning and the background that we have, and the choices that we make. It's like when I was at a Buddhist teachers conference with the Dalai Lama, and the first time we had one of these Western Buddhist teachers conference in Dharamsala, and during the course of this, it was decided that it would be a good idea to make up a little list of principles that Buddhist teachers should adhere to, you know, around the world, you know, like a list of these are standards that we all agree to. And so this was hammered out, about 10 or 12 points over the course of the days we were together. And number one on the list was, you know, our duty as Buddha's teachers is to promote the teachings of the Buddha, and to spread the understanding of Buddhism and Buddhist practices around the world. And they got halfway through, Stephen Batchelor was actually presenting this, but he got halfway through the first sentence, that our job as Buddhist teachers is to spread the teachings of the Buddha, and the Dalai Lama said, stop, that's totally wrong. Our job as Buddhist teachers is not to spread Buddhism, it's not to try and convert people to our religion, that would be awful. And you could feel, again, the sense of the room went, awful. And a few people were thinking, well, isn't that what we're doing? He said, no, our job is to promote human kindness, you know, human goodness. If people choose to be Muslims or Hindus or Christians or Buddhists of different kinds, that's up to them. Yeah. How arrogant of me to think that, to go up to someone in the street and say, you should be different. Like, that would be awful. The Buddha would never agree to that. You know, but if we promote human goodness, human understanding, then we will develop a respect for each other's humanity. We will respect each other's good heart. And then how we choose to phrase that, how we choose to articulate that for ourselves. The words we use, the images we use, yeah, that's up to each one of us. And I felt that both of these approaches were very wholesome, very very noble, very useful. Particularly, you know, Amaravati is a spiritual center. It's definitely a Buddhist monastery, as we know. We're all, you know, flag-wearing, card-carrying Buddhists who live here. But it was also set up by Lumpur Sumedho as a place to be a spiritual sanctuary for people of all faiths. And over the years, we've had many interfaith gatherings. So I think it's important to hold things in that spirit. And also on Sunday, I was reading a few paragraphs from a wonderful book by Ajahn Buddhadasa called No Religion. And so in a way, Ajahn Buddhadasa's take is, you know, that really religions don't actually exist. So, you know, to say I'm a Buddhist, or and that's you're a Muslim, or you're a Christian, you're a Hindu. And this is to approach the world from a very shallow level of thinking. So really, Buddhism doesn't exist. Islam and Hinduism, Christianity, they don't really exist on the ultimate level. And so if we understand that, we see that these are merely conventions, merely human agreements and structures, conventional truths, then we'll be able to respect each other. Then we'll be able to use the spiritual teachings to their most complete effect. We'll be able to use them most helpfully in our own lives. But as soon as we attach to, you know, I'm a Buddhist, you're different, she's a Muslim, he's a Hindu, then this is imprisoning the mind in very shallow levels of thinking, and it creates division and conflict between us. So it's a wonderful, it's one of those spiritual masterpieces called No Religion, and so it's a very beautiful expression of that, in a way that the transcendent view, the ultimate view that helps us to both be faithful Buddhists, says Ajahn Buddhadasa, you know, he's been a monk for 50 years, keeps all the rules, is a famous Buddhist philosopher, and is very much living and faithfully as a Theravada Buddhist, but to get up there and say, Buddhism doesn't exist. This is just a convention. I feel that's very much in the spirit of what Lumpur Cha, Lumpur Sumedho taught us over many, many years, that we find that wonderful middle way whereby we both faithfully respect the rules and conventions that we follow, that form the structure of our life, but without attachment. We genuinely use the teaching as a raft, as a means to get from the one side of the water, where it's dangerous and difficult, across to the further shore, to the other shore, where there is safety and security. But once we've paddled across the water on our raft, we don't pick up the raft and carry it around, but rather we leave the raft on the shore and go our way, which is to say, we faithfully and sincerely use the conventions of the religion, Theravada and Buddhism, Thai forest tradition, but without attachment, without using that as a weapon to attack other people with, without as making it into an identity that limits our heart, limits our wisdom and our freedom. So those are our few reflections on this morning as our retreat time begins.